Happy Halloween, all. All through this month, we've been bringing you some tales of the dark, scary, and the unexplained, our Spooky Stories series. Today, as the kids gear up for a night of trick-or-treating, we've got one final story to share. Jennifer Strauss is a professional storyteller from Traverse City, and she brings us a ghost story from Michigan's Thumb. But first, she tells us why ghost stories capture our imaginations.
Urban legends were an incredible craze in the 60s in the city of Detroit, as I'm sure they were in other places. But it was the stories we told to each other at sleepovers and around the campfire, those, it happened to a friend of mine, and we just loved being frightened by those stories. And so when I became a professional storyteller, I gravitated to those urban legends and scary tales. The ones that I love the best are the haunted tales from Michigan, and I've sort of focused on those in my repertoire over the last 10 years. When I was in high school, my dad used to cut articles out of the Detroit Free Press if they were about haunted sites or ghosts. One of the writers for the Free Press in those days was a woman named Marion Cucklow, and she would write about haunted places in Michigan that you could visit if you wanted to. Marion Cucklow took all her research, and she published a book called Michigan Haunts and Hauntings. When I became a storyteller, I purchased that book, and the last story in that book is called The Legend of the Ghost of Minnie Quay, and this is the story. Now, years ago, during the lumber era, James Quay was a businessman in Boston, a banker. There were six children in the Quay family when they lost their oldest daughter, Luann, to leukemia, which wasn't curable at that time. His wife was so grief-stricken at the loss of their oldest daughter, the family as well, they thought that it would be a good idea to move that family to a new place to have a brand new start. It was the boom of the lumber era in Michigan, and James Quay chose to move his family to a town called Forester, Michigan. They moved into a two-story wooden house next to the Tanner House Hotel. They put the year they moved in above the door, 1852, and the family name Quay, hoping that this new home would be a good one for the family. Minnie, she was the second oldest daughter, and she was not unlike the other young girls in a lumber town during that time. When a ship came in and set anchor, and those sailors came off of that ship, Minnie and her girlfriends would go down to the waterfront and watch them. One day a ship set anchor and a young man came down that pier and Minnie fell in love with him. No one remembers what his name is to this very day, but it wouldn't be hard to imagine what he looked like. 19, 20 years old, strong from life on the ship. To Minnie it sounded like he had seen the whole world because he had been to places like Detroit and Chicago and Sault Ste. Marie. She fell in love. It didn't take long in a small town like Forester for news to get back to her mother and father that she had been seen all alone with that sailor, walking hand in hand with him on the beach. And you can't blame her parents for being worried. Minnie was only 14, and it looked like she was in a serious relationship with a sailor. One night, she got home after curfew, and a big argument broke out in that house when her mother said, "Minnie Quay, I forbid you to ever see that sailor again." The next day, he would set sail. Minnie snuck out of the house, trying to make her way down to the pier so she could say goodbye to him one last time. But her mother chased after her, caught her before she could get to the boat, and she said, "Minnie Quay, I would rather see you dead than married to that no-good sailor." And she yanked her all the way home. In the spring, when the ice broke up on Lake Huron, news came into Forester that one of those ships had sunk in a spring storm out on the lake. And on that ship was that sailor that Minnie had fallen in love with. She was never able to say goodbye. She was incredibly grief-stricken, but she didn't show her emotions to her family. And 3 days after the news had come in, her mother and father packed up all the youngest Quay children to go on an all-day trip into Port Sanilac to get supplies. They left Minnie home with her little baby brother, Charles. It was an unusually warm spring day. Minnie left the house wearing a light white cotton summer dress. She walked down through the streets of town. Charles had gone down for his nap. She made her way down to the waterfront It was such a warm spring day that all the old men were sitting in rocking chairs on the back porch of the Tanner House Hotel. They waved at Minnie. She waved back. She walked down to the end of the long pier, and before anyone could do anything about it, she plunged into the still, icy cold waters of Lake Huron, and she ended her life. She just wanted to be joined back together with that sailor that she loved, but fate was not kind to that young couple. Minnie was never joined back together with that sailor, and sadly enough, her parents had to bury a second daughter in the Forester Cemetery. The people of Forester will tell you that Minnie's ghost is not at rest. They still see her wandering the woods and the shores wearing that cotton summer dress. Her ghost still travels those shores, and if you go there, you may see her even to this day.
That was Jennifer Strauss, a professional storyteller from Traverse City. Her business is Story Be Told.